Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
I don't want to hurt anybody who is gay or any organization that's gay affirming. I don't want to financially hurt them. I want to show the love of Christ to them. I don't want to hurt them financially. I don't want them to see the church as an enemy. If we're boycotting them, they're looking, yeah, those evangelicals, they just hate us.
Loving like God can be very difficult at times. But when we show that love in this lost world, it shines so brightly. When we love instead of judge or turn our heads the other way, people see clearly the unconditional love of Jesus through us. And remember, Jesus said, "This world we know," take two. And remember, Jesus said this world would know we are His disciples by the love we show. With Romans 1, 24 through 32, here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
Years ago, a couple began to come to the church, and I developed a relationship with them and found out they were living together. And I said, you guys need to move out. And I also said to them, I'll marry you. Move out and I'll marry you. You know, move out for whatever amount of time. Pray about it, make sure it's the right thing. You know, I don't want you to marry if it's not the right thing, right? For some of you, you might need to move out. That's it. For some of you, move out and then be married again. And move out and give God that time of purity, keeping the marriage bed undefiled. It might not be completely undefiled for you, but you can move out and you can keep the marriage bed undefiled until you come back together again. And so I encouraged him, move out, find a place to stay, call a buddy, tell him you want to crash on his couch, move out, it's only for a time. I'll marry you guys. If you guys want to get married in a week, if you really believe it's what God wants, I'll marry you in a week. And they did. And God honored him. He became one of our pastors on staff. God honored that commitment. I believe that when we make that kind of a commitment, God honors it. So if you are living with one another, each other, you've come to the Lord now, don't just keep coming to church living together. Make things right. Do what's right. It costs something. It's hard to do, but make it right. And we'll marry you, all right? And we'll marry you fairly quickly if you're confident that this is the right thing to do. And we are going to ask you that question. We don't want to just get you married, just to get you married, make things right when it's not what God wants for you. And sometimes slowing down a little bit is a good thing. It's a wise thing to do. So God gave them over to this lust to do, to dishonor their bodies among themselves. And then he gives the second group that he gives over. He says, for this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use of what is against nature. Likewise, also men leaving the natural use of the woman burned in their lust for one another, and men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty, the error of what is due. I have something I want to read you here. You guys know what the Babylon Bee is? Anybody? Okay, it's people with good sense of humor, you raised your hand. Babylon Bee is a webpage that has Christian satire. And it's got a lot of irony on it. And they write articles. It's kind of like The Onion. You guys familiar with The Onion? So The Onion is the secular. The Babylon Bee is the Christian version of The Onion. Okay? So they give these certain statements. They are article titles. And then they give articles, and the articles are funny. But the titles can be the funniest most often. A couple of their titles. One of them is, "Man Who Can Quote Princess Bride at Will, Struggling to Remember a Single Bible Verse." Then there's an article following it. Another one, "Left Behind Action Figures, Just Empty Boxes." Which is good. Paramedic announces he will only help those who help themselves. So that's the kind of thing that you find on the Babylon Bee. Go ahead and look at it. You'll find it. I don't agree with everything that's on there, okay? I'm just telling you, it's funny, all right? So here's the one that speaks to me today, because this is true. That's what makes some of them funny, is the truth that you find in them. Shocking new study suggests disagreeing with gay and trans people not the same as hating them. I bring that up because obviously when I read this verse, it says God gave them over to vile passions. At the end of the verse, it says to do what is shameful. that the Bible, there's no way that you can take Romans or 1 Corinthians and the passages that talk about homosexuality and justify them. You have to remove them. You have to say, well, they were written for their day and they have no application in our day. I don't remove things from the Bible. I look at what the Bible says. And I promise you, the fact that I disagree with the LGBTQ community doesn't mean I hate them. The opposite is true. I love them and want to see them come to Christ. I can also assure you that I am not homophobic. I'm not afraid of you. I'm not afraid of the political power that you might have. Our politics is so messed up. I don't think it could get any more messed up. I'm not afraid of that. I am not afraid of what you are trying to achieve. I want to see you truly come to Christ. We'll talk a little bit more about how and why it is a destructive lifestyle in a moment. But I think it's important for us to understand it. A few years ago, probably 15, 20 years ago now, there was a pastor by the name of Ted Haggard who got caught in a homosexual relationship. He was writing a book. He was a national author and a pastor of a church. And he was writing a book and he went over to a hotel to write the book. The Bible says a man who isolates himself is seeking his own way. And that's what you had. He went away from his family. He went to this hotel and he had a massage therapist there who was a guy and who was gay. And he started a homosexual affair with this gay man. When he went back to his church, he preached against homosexuality, but not just lightly. You always got to wonder when someone's got a little bit too much fervor for something. In other words, he was like, these homosexuals, and he just went after it. You always got to wonder, why are they so vehement about it? It was like when Swaggart, what's his first name? Jimmy. When Jimmy Swaggart preached against girls in shorty pants. Remember that? Girls wearing shorty pants. Girls all the time wearing shorty pants. Girls shouldn't be wearing shorty pants. And I would say, first of all, Jimmy, stop saying shorty pants. Nobody says shorty pants, okay? So stop that nonsense. But second, we also found that he was cruising prostitutes to pick them up and have them perform for him. He said he never touched them, but he would pick them up and have them perform for him. So he obviously had some problems in that area, just like Ted Haggard had some problems with homosexuality. And when the guy that he was having the affair with, the homosexual affair with, heard about it, him thrashing homosexuals, he got angry and he squealed on him. You know, the Bible says your sin will find you out. That's exactly what happened to him. And so I got a call from Guy Atchley with K-Gun 9. Guy retired earlier this year and has been a friend of ours over the years. He spoke at one of our past, present, and future conferences, and he's been a friend. So he called up and said, listen, I want to get an interview about Ted Haggard. I've got these questions I'd like to ask you. Would you like to do it? Today, when I get asked if I'll do an interview for a news station, I always say no. I'm just kind of like, no, find someone else. I'm really busy. I won't do it. But then I was like, ooh, the news wants to talk to me. This is great. So I met him in between services back behind our building here. That everything set up when I pulled up. It was on a Sunday. And he asked the four or five questions that he gave me. And one of them was about politics. And I had said that we as a church are not political. We don't support candidates. We don't talk against candidates. The only thing we do is encourage people to vote for the person that represents them the most. That's what we encourage and that's it. We are not political at all. And then at the end of the interview, he had the gotcha question, which all these guys are going to do, right? I mean, if you're a good journalist, you need to try to kind of get something that you can use that's going to make people watch. And so he says to me at the very end, do you have homosexuals in your church? Later on, when it was on TV that night, I watched it. And when he said, do you have homosexuals in your church? And he put the microphone in my face, my eyes shot right. I was like, do you have homosexuals in your church? And then I looked back straight and I was like, that is such a hilarious response. I obviously didn't know the question was coming. And also what was going on in my mind was danger, Will Robinson, right? And so God kind of covered me. And what I said ended up being really good. I think the Holy Spirit gives you the words to say in a time like that. And I said, yes, I believe we have homosexuals in our church. And he said, well, what do you ask them to do? And I said, the same thing we ask heterosexual people to do in our church. And that is to walk in purity, to live their life for God, to not be in sinful behavior. And he goes, well, what does that mean? And we talked a little bit more about what it meant. So then later on, they did play that clip. Of course they played that clip. Almost nothing else, but they did play that clip. And then he ended up his segment with these words. He said, although homosexuals are allowed in Calvary Chapel, politicians are not. Isn't that great? It's like, you know, homosexuals come in, we're like, have a seat. Politician comes in, get out! Get out, you politician. We don't want you in here. I said politics. We're not into politics. I didn't say politicians weren't welcome at Calvary Chapel. All of that to say that that really is what we expect from someone who is a homosexual, that they would repent and they would live their lives in purity. It may be that your temptation is for someone of the same sex, but someone who is a heterosexual's temptation is for someone of the opposite sex. And if both are fulfilling those desires, then both are in sin. If both are fighting against those desires to give God purity, then God will honor both of those. When it says that practicing fornicators and homosexuals will not enter into the kingdom of heaven, which it says in Corinthians, both of those words, it's true for both. If you've come to Christ, then those things are going to be worked out of your life. And that's true on both sides. Now, it says something else here. Well, can I say this? A few years ago, I was approached so that our church could be a part of a boycott against Disneyland. Disneyland had made a move to become gay affirming. In fact, they began to announce that they were gay affirming. And so a lot of churches began to boycott Disneyland to try to get them to back out of that. They began to add gay characters into their Disney shows, and they began to say that old characters in old Disney shows, certain ones were gay. They found ones that they could say were gay, and they said that they were gay. And so we were approached that we would boycott Disneyland, and you guys would have to sign a petition saying, I'm not going to go to Disneyland as long as you guys are gay affirmative. And they wanted us to take them and pass them out and be a church that would boycott it, and I refused. I said no. And this is the reason. And they didn't understand it because most churches were saying, yeah, bring it on. This is the reason that I refused. Because I don't want to hurt anybody who is gay or any organization that's gay affirming. I don't want to financially hurt them. I want to show the love of Christ to them. I don't want to hurt them financially. I don't want them to see the church as an enemy. If we're boycotting them, they're looking, yeah, those evangelicals, they just hate us. We don't hate you. We don't agree with your lifestyle. We don't hate you. But when we do things like that, we give them cause for them to say that we hate them because we're trying to hurt them instead of really and truly loving them. Being able to say, I really love you. A few years ago, one more story and then we move on to the text. A few years ago, right out of the blue, there came four or five different homosexual couples that started attending the church. And they sat up in the front. And they rubbed the back of each other's neck and rubbed their arm. And when you were sitting there and they were sitting in front of you, I interact with you guys when I preach. I'm watching what's going on, which is the reason I know when you're sleeping, I know when you're paying attention, because I look around. That could be terrifying to some of you guys. But I'm watching people sitting in front of these couples that are physical, and I see them. And afterwards, I had several come up to me and go, I can't take it anymore. He's playing with the back of his neck the whole time. I couldn't listen to you at all. What should I do? What should we do? Well, I am persuaded that it wasn't coincidence that we had both campuses it happening at. I think that they were setting us up to some degree, meaning they wanted us to go, you get out of here, and then they could make an issue of it, at whatever level they could make an issue of. We have the right to have anybody here and to remove anybody we want to remove. That's the right of the church. We have a right. There is separation between church and state to protect the church, and we have that right. But we weren't going to do that because those people, if they were trying to set us up, they were hearing the gospel. And when I got to homosexuality, I dealt with it the same way I deal with it today. We love you guys, but it's wrong. That's the way I dealt with it. And so I would tell people who are really upset and wanting to just wig out, I would tell them, pray for them. Can you sit behind them next time and just pray for them? They're hearing the gospel. They're hearing what could save them. And what they're using to try to trap us, maybe God will use it to actually transform them and cause them to be saved. I'll also say, because, hey, look, you guys are dealing with people in your family and friends who are coming out of the closet, who are saying that they're gay, and you're having to make decisions. Do you go to a gay wedding? That's hard. Do you go to a gay wedding of a daughter? Do you go to a gay wedding of a niece? And you have to make those decisions. I'm not going to make them for you. I'm not going to tell you the right or wrong thing to do. It might be right in one to go and wrong in the other one to go. But I would say there's nothing wrong with saying, I disagree with this lifestyle, but I support you and I love you. And I don't see any problem with going. Now, I already got one letter back about saying that. So I'm sure I'm going to get more letters from saying that. I just said it last night and I already got one. All right. I'm just saying, pray. If you isolate yourself from that person, are you isolating them from the light of Christ that shines brightest in dark places? Different situations. They're all different. They're all unique. There are nuances, and we need to understand nuances. Sometimes, you know, that black and white legalism doesn't take nuances into account at all. There are nuances, and we need to understand that there are nuances and prayerfully make decisions led by the Holy Spirit. All right, so I have 8 minutes to get this wrapped up, and I'm going to get this wrapped up in 8 minutes. So it says there at the bottom of this section on homosexuality that it's a vile passion, that it is shameful. And then it says, and they receive in themselves the penalty of the error that was due them. In themselves, in the act of homosexuality, there is a penalty that they receive in themselves. God gave them over to it and they receive a penalty. There's been some suggestions as to what this penalty could be. Some have suggested venereal disease. So yesterday I searched the internet for venereal disease for about an hour and was thoroughly grossed out. First of all, there are more venereal diseases than I ever thought there were. Secondly, venereal diseases are becoming resistant to antibiotics, and there are venereal diseases that you can catch even if you are using protection. And never look at the pictures. Never, ever, ever, ever look at the pictures, all right? And for man having sex with men, and these articles would say MSM to man, sex, man sex with man, is the one that gets the most venereal diseases. And there's a few reasons for this. It's not just because of the very act itself, but it's that men have a tendency to have more sexual partners than women, than lesbians do. And sometimes they can be a high number. I don't want to quote any of the numbers that I had because I found them all different and they're probably not accurate anyway. I think it's just sufficient to say there are reasons that these things happen, and there's a reason that venereal diseases are more common among homosexual men especially than anyone else. And also, just doing a little bit of research on venereal diseases, there's a reason God wants you and your wife to be monogamous. Because when you guys are monogamous, it means that there's no venereal diseases in your family. I'm not saying that's the main reason. I'm just saying that's a good reason, all right? Might not be the best reason, but it's a good reason, especially when you realize what is out there, all right? And I don't know whether that's what he meant, but there's something else too. And that is that the homosexual lifestyle is a very difficult lifestyle. There are people that do hate homosexuals, and there are hate crimes against homosexuals. And almost every homosexual that lives outside of the closet has experienced people that hate them. They've been made fun of, they've been laughed at, they've been beaten. There are people who have even killed homosexuals, and if you're in the Arab world, you know, coming out, you could easily be killed. If you come out of the closet in the Arab world, you're gonna be killed. They will kill you for it. And so the homosexual lifestyle is tough. So much so that Dr. Laura, who used to be on the air here, she's a psychologist that had a radio program, said that the homosexual lifestyle is so difficult. Homosexuals are more prone to depression. Their suicide among homosexual communities is higher than in the general populace. And the reason for that may just be how hard it is to be homosexual in a world where there's so much hatred against homosexuality. Who knows? But it is harder. So it seems like there's a penalty that is due in just being a homosexual. There's a penalty that is there that causes suffering. And Dr. Laura would say, no one would choose it on purpose. No one would say, I'm gonna be homosexual unless they already are homosexual because the lifestyle is so difficult. I have another take on it. And that is that once you give yourself over to a certain lust, it becomes a lifestyle behavioral addiction, and it's really hard to break. Whether that's pornography, for those of you that have gotten into watching pornography, Once you do that for a while, it becomes a behavioral addiction and is very difficult to break. It's also true with fornication, sexual sin. You begin acting it out, and once you've acted out, your conscience gets seared and behavior sets in, and now you have a behavioral addiction. And the same is true with homosexuality. It's a strong lust. It's a self-gratifying thing, and it becomes very strong and very hard for them to break. So those are a couple of ideas. There may be others, and there are others if you want to do a little bit more research about what people think the penalty that is due inside of the homosexual. It's not the next verse, by the way, because this is one of them that they bring up. The next verse says, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind." I can't tell you how many pastors I hear say that God has given homosexuals over to a debased mind. That's not what the text says. And when you read it in context, he says God gave them over to uncleanliness, that's sexual sin. God gave them over to homosexuality, that's the next section. And then God gave them over to a debased mind, and that's everybody else. Right now, you might be feeling pretty good. Me and my wife have been faithful to each other for 30 years, and we're not homosexuals. But you're not going to feel so good after this next section. Because that's what he does here, is he condemns everybody. He says God gives them over to a debased mind that they begin to live for themselves. He says God gave them over to a debased mind to do the things that are not fitting, being filled with unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, wanting to hurt other people, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, they are backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedience to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, and knowing the righteous judgment of God that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. That puts all the rest of us who would be ungodly and not follow God under that same kind of penalty, which is his purpose for this text, is to say that they are under the law of death. Next chapter, he's going to get to the self-righteous people. These are ones that haven't been justified by God, but they're justified in themselves. So that by the time he gets to chapter 3, he can say everyone is under sin. Everybody is a sinner and needs Jesus Christ. And I find it interesting, and this is in closing, I got a minute, probably going to be late, but not very much. I find it interesting that Jesus was called a friend of sinners. That when Jesus went to hang out with people, he hung out with those people that people stayed away from. Again, light shines brightest in dark places. And we know what Jesus said when he said to the woman caught in the act of adultery, he said, I don't condemn you. Go your way and sin no more. He can forgive anything that you've done. And we should look for opportunities to shine as lights in the midst of dark places. Stand with me, would you, and let's pray together. Father, we want to thank you so much for your word. We thank you that you deal with these topics in a matter-of-fact way, and that we don't have to wonder or, Lord, we don't want to ever be guilty of manipulating your word to make it say what we think it should say or what we think it ought to say. And Lord, we confess that we take our cues from you, and we want to give you purity. We want to give you holiness. We repent, we turn from our sins, from those things that have crept into our lives, from the leaven that has leavened the whole lump. We turn away from those to live wholeheartedly for you. And we thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
We hope you've been blessed, encouraged, and edified by what you've heard here on Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Chapel here in Tucson, Arizona. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com, where you'll find recordings of weekly services at Calvary Tucson and also archives of Practical Christian Living programs. We are grateful for your donations that help fund the production and broadcast for Practical Christian Living. If this ministry has blessed you and you'd like to support it with your financial gift of any amount, please mail your donation to Calvary Tucson, PCL Radio, 5170 South Julian Drive, that's J-U-L-I-A-N, Tucson, Arizona, 85706. If you live in the Tucson area or you're ever visiting our community, We'd love for you to stop by one of our two campuses in East and Southwest Tucson. You can find service times online at calvarytucson.com. We'd love to have you visit for Bible study. Drop into our Solid Ground coffee shop and bookstore, or take a minute to look through our Mission Thrift Store located at our West Campus, which benefits our various missions projects. Have you accepted Jesus into your life or have questions about salvation? Email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. That's S-A-V-E-D at calvarytucson.com. And don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. And we want to remind our local listeners that you can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KGUN9. May you walk in the grace and peace of Jesus today.